ago. As I was working my way through school, we had a growing family at the time. We had accumulated some debt, and it was this lingering burden. It was always looming overhead, and I wanted to get rid of it, but it felt like an impossible mountain that I had to climb in order to do that. And I felt at the time that my best option was to talk to my employer and ask him about a raise. And with some hard work, and I had a few years left before I would be done with my degree, I figured, hey, maybe I could just scale that mountain. Maybe I could accomplish paying that debt off. And if you've ever been in a situation like that where you're going to go in and ask your boss, your employer for a raise, you might have felt maybe some of the same things that I felt at that time. I was pretty nervous. I didn't want to do it, but I felt like in a way that I needed to do it. And maybe part of my nervousness was that I did not feel like I deserved it. I felt like I was really adequately compensated, but I needed to do something. And so there I was sitting in that office, and I laid it out to him, probably poorly, about what was going on in my life. And after I spoke to him, he had some kind words to say to me and told me that he thought the best thing to do about that was just to pay it off. And he was the wealthiest person that I knew, but he was also very generous. And so it was a huge thing in my eyes, very difficult thing to pay off a debt like that, but it was not so huge in his eyes. It was something quite simple to him, and he delighted in helping me. Because he had the ability, all it took was my asking to create the opportunity for him to just show me his generosity. And folks, this is just a small analogy of what our God is like toward us. And so in the passage that we have in front of us today, he is inviting us, Jesus is inviting us to come to him. The God who is able, the Father who cares for his children, the one who is good in everything, not just in some things, but in everything that he does. And our God delights to give. And he tells us to believe what he says here and to ask him. So as we start, we just need to see this as a grand invitation that the God whose eye is on all the happenings of the universe, his eye is on me too. And he cares about me and he cares about you. And his desire is to give out of his goodness, out of his generosity, the overflow of his treasure. And he's calling us to ask him for the things that he desires to give us. So let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, where the Lord Jesus says this: "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" We've spent about 6 months now going through the Sermon on the Mount. Very challenging, convicting, difficult sermon that Jesus gave to his disciples. And so how many times as we've been going through this, have we read the words of Jesus, as we've read the words of Jesus, have you felt conviction? As if he's talking right to you, knowing that you don't measure up. He's called us to be perfect, just as our Heavenly Father is perfect. To have a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus has called us to love our enemies like God has loved his enemies. To turn the other cheek. To be peacemakers. to be salt and light in a world where you are persecuted. Last week we were told that we are not to condemn other people. Before that we saw that we're not to be anxious about our needs or greedy, but always trusting that our Heavenly Father knows what we need and will give them to us. So Jesus is probing our hearts, and he shows us how easily we become worldly, how easily we drift from God, how easily we can be tainted by the things around us, the mindset, the attitudes of those who are around us, how quickly we can become selfish, self-centered, prideful. We come here and we worship together, we pray together, we teach. Christ even shows us that even in those moments it can be ruined by pride as we do these things for the applause of men and not for the eyes of God. How could we not be convicted as we look at what Jesus says here and wonder, how is it possible for me to be holy and righteous in the eyes of God? So I think that Jesus knows that we need to be reminded of the mercy of God in the gospel, that he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And he hasn't forgotten our weakness, that nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That's it. And so because of the cross of Jesus Christ, we can ask for these things that we've been taught about, these things that Christ has commanded us to be, these things that Jesus is calling us to do, where we feel like we have no ability, and we need to ask for them because God desires to give them. He wants to make us into these people that Jesus is teaching us about here. And he relates this truth to us in a way that we can easily understand, a father and his children. He's a great teacher, and he's telling us, surely you understand what it's like for a father to love his children, because Jesus knows that we have doubt. We struggle at times. We don't trust. We're afraid. We get anxious. We forget his promises. He knows that we can be timid and that we often ask in fear. And he knows that if we can just grasp who our God is to us, what he's like, what his character is all about, his generosity, his willingness to sacrifice, his great love that overcomes all kinds of chasms of unbelief. If we could just grasp that, then we will not be afraid to ask like Jesus is teaching us here. And we'll have no reason to doubt that God will do the things that he promises to do. Look at verses 9 through 11. Look at what Christ says here about our Father. He says, or which one of you, if a son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Look around right now at the fathers in the room, the men that are in the room. And which one of these men, if their son or their daughter is hungry, and they ask them for something good to eat, is instead going to give them a rock? I mean, what dad takes sick pleasure in that? Here, son, chew on this for a while. Or if they ask for a fish, instead the dad gives them a serpent, hands them a snake. Here, play with this. See how good he tastes. No good dad is going to do that. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. And now I don't doubt that there are people here in this room who have experienced abusive or malicious fathers who gave evil things to their children or did evil things to their children when they could have given good. And that does happen, though that's not the norm. Jesus says that we will usually observe earthly fathers delighting to give good things to their children. I personally do not want my children to be hungry. I don't want them to be hungry. I don't want them to be cold. My desire is to take care of my kids. And Jesus says to me, he says, if you then, Lonnie, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give to those who ask him? And Jesus could have used a different word here. He could have said, you know, Lonnie, you being sinful, or you being weak, you being faulty, a person who makes mistakes, but he doesn't say that. He chooses to use the word evil to show the stark contrast between me and my character and my nature and that of my heavenly Father. God does not desire to keep good from his children. He says, you are evil, and you still give good things to your kids. God is infinitely holy and perfect. What do you think he is going to do? He never gives evil to his children. And so as he teaches us about the Father, about what he's like, Christ is removing obstacles. Obstacles that will keep us from asking. And so if you think of God as being stingy, or a father who likes to withhold things from his kids, maybe just because he can, because he has the power, your thinking is broken. Your thinking's messed up, and Jesus is correcting it. You're mistaking God for somebody else. Maybe somebody else that you met. Maybe a father like you had. Maybe somebody that was in authority over you who mistreated you. You're projecting onto God what that person was like, the people that you've dealt with. God is not like that. Maybe it was the boss who had the ability to relieve your pain. And out of his own greed, he kept the money for himself. The dad who delighted in teaching you a good lesson more than he delighted in you. Or maybe the dad who just wasn't there. You needed somebody there in that moment, and he wasn't. And so now maybe you think of God that way, that when you need him most, he's not going to be there for you. Surely everybody in this room has experienced another person who was not generous, who was stingy. Christ is saying, your Father in heaven is not like that. He isn't like them. And so our personal experiences of those people who were in authority over us, these people that were supposed to take care of us and meet our needs, those tend to bleed into our thoughts about God, who this God is and what he's like. And Jesus wants to make sure that we are thinking of God properly here. He's taking those obstacles away and correcting our thinking. He is a perfect Father who delights in caring for you. He always gives good bread and fish, not rocks and snakes. And Jesus says in verse 8 that everyone who receives asks. Not one person who asks him, that is his child, will he neglect. Everyone who asks receives. And so maybe you look around and you see other people flourishing. You see other people doing well, and you're wondering, what's going on in my own life? These people have joy. Their family seems to be in order. They seem to have everything that they need. And you wonder to yourself, does God play favorites with his kids? You know, he's got a lot of children. Maybe I'm the one that always gets on his nerves. I'm the one that's always needy, the one who's always asking, and he's ignoring me. Jesus is telling us that God does not have stepchildren. He gives freely to everyone who asks. So maybe the problem right now in your asking is maybe you're not asking at all. Maybe you're failing to ask God for the things that you genuinely need. Or maybe you are asking and you aren't receiving. And so what might be happening? What could be happening if you're wanting to understand this, you're wanting to apply it to your life, you're trying, you're asking God for things, and you're not seeing any results? What might be happening if it seems like God is not listening? Well, we need to understand, first of all, that this is not a blanket statement. This is not a blanket statement that you'll just get whatever you ask for, as if God is some kind of genie. So just ask and you'll receive whatever's on your heart at the time, and maybe God will give. That's not what Christ is getting at here. I think he's far more specific in what he is aiming at. The reason we are not receiving could be that we're not asking for the right thing. That's possible. So I think this passage is placed where it is in Jesus' sermon because as we're reading or hearing him preach, again, like I mentioned at the very beginning, we should begin to feel our great need. We sang a song a little while ago that said, I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. As you read the Sermon on the Mount, that should be your response. Lord, without you, I am completely lost. If you don't help me, I am absolutely desperate. Because I cannot do this on my own. These are the very attitudes that Jesus taught us in those first four Beatitudes. Let me remind you of what he says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those that understand their need, their poverty of righteousness, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I mean, there's been times as I have read these passages, I understand how far short I fall, and in my heart of hearts, I must mourn. God's telling us if we're mourning for the things that he's wanting us to mourn for, we shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. As we were going through this, talking about the meek, this is the people that don't demand, they don't stand on their rights, and they don't demand. They know that they receive everything they need from the hands of their God. They don't grasp at things. They're humble. These people shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. That's what our passage is getting at. Are you hungry? Are you thirsting for righteousness, the very things that Christ is talking about here? You want these things. You don't want to have a condemning spirit. You don't want to be anxious. You want to trust in your heavenly Father. And yet in the moment, what happens? You doubt. You don't believe. You become fearful. You're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. For they shall be satisfied. The things in Jesus' sermon are the things that God desires to provide for us. This is what he's telling us he will provide for. Ask for these things. Seek these things. Knock for these things, and you will have. He just wants us to ask for them. So we need to come to our Father and say, Father, give me a humble and merciful heart, not a condemning one. Teach me to trust you with my things and the money you've placed in my care. Make me generous so that the world will see that you are my treasure, not my possessions. Change my heart toward difficult people. You got any difficult people in your life? Change my heart toward them. Help me to love my enemies, not repaying evil for evil, but good for evil. Make me generous toward them like God has been generous toward me. Deliver me from a lustful heart and replace it with purity. Put gentleness in place of anger. Make me a peacemaker instead of a troublemaker. This is what God is telling us here we need to ask for, and that we will be satisfied. And so Jesus' teachings here in this sermon, this should change the way that we pray. The things that we pray for, what we ask for, and know that God desires to give it. He wants these things for us, and he's not going to close his hands and refuse to let his generosity be stifled. So it should change the way that we pray, that we would be the kind of people that Christ is describing here. And because there is a huge gap in between what he is saying here and what I am, I must pray. I have to pray. I have no other alternative. This cannot happen without it. I have to pray. So he's telling us, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. And so God here is calling us to be something we are unable to be without him. We cannot receive these things unless we ask of him, and he will gladly give it. And there is a foundation, there's an anchor underneath these promises that needs to come clear to us. And notice again here that Jesus says that we are evil. Again, it's not a misuse of words. This is supposed to stand out to us. We are evil, he tells us. And so why would a good and holy God call evil people his children? He's doing that right here in this passage. You are evil, but yet you are children of God. And not only call us that, but provide for us. Show that we are his children by being generous and caring for us. We need to see that underneath these promises is the cross of Jesus Christ. And that isn't clear to those people that Jesus first preached this sermon to. Not least right here it's not, but it is to us. The only way that evil people become children of God is through the death of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that evil people can become children of God. At the cross, he took my sin. The very things that made me evil, all my unrighteous, ungodly desires, Christ put those upon himself there at the cross. He was punished in my place, and now by faith, he gives his righteousness to me. That's how I can become a child of God. That is how I can stand in the presence of a holy God and call him Father. It's because now Jesus has made me righteous and made me holy in the eyes of this God. And so when I call on God, asking, seeking, knocking, he no longer sees an evil enemy. God sees a son. And instead of telling me to go away, I never knew you, he says, my child, what do you need? Ask of me. I love you. Ask, and you will receive. Jesus' death makes it possible for us to pray with confidence like this. We can pray with confidence. The cross is our confidence that we can come before God. And so maybe you don't receive because you don't ask. Or maybe it's because you don't ask for the right things. Or maybe you don't receive because you don't ask in faith. You're not leaning on the cross of Jesus Christ and believing that these promises are genuinely for you. James, the brother of Jesus, he helps us here. He says, this is in James chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And so James is telling us that doubt or unbelief in the promises of God hinder our prayers. They keep us from being heard by God. We should not suppose that we will receive anything from the Lord if we doubt and are double-minded. James chapter 4, he says, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. You're asking for the wrong things to spend it on your own passions. And so James affirms these three reasons why we sometimes do not get what we want or what we ask for from God. Either we don't ask, we ask wrongly, or we don't ask in faith. But I do think that it is possible for a person to pray in faith, believing in the promises of God for good things and then not to receive them. At least not in the way or in the timing that we ask for them. And so you're asking for things that it would seem like God wants to give, and yet you are not seeing results. What could be going on there? You pray for a sick person to be healed. You pray for money to cover the expenses. You pray for a marriage to be saved. Even that you would see progress like Jesus is talking about here in His Word, that I would grow as a disciple, living more like this, and I'm not seeing it happen, at least not fast enough. So we all wonder at times why these things are not happening. What's going on? And we have to remember that we are children, and God is the Father. The language and the minds of kids can only take them so far, can only understand so much, can only grapple with so many truths. And the Father knows better than their children what they need. Kids want candy and cake for dinner. Mine do. But their dad wants their bodies to be strong, so he makes them eat their vegetables. So children are supposed to trust the wisdom of their parents when they don't get what they want. And even sometimes they don't get what they need at exactly the time that they want it. And so there are times when God gives us exactly what we asked for when we ask for it. And that is a blessing, a kindness of God, that He often will do it that way. And then there are times that He gives something completely different that is better for us than we even asked Him for. And it comes to us packaged in a way that we did not expect at a time that we did not expect it. And we might wonder, why did God not give me that thing that I prayed for? And maybe God gave or will give something better than you asked for. And in His wisdom, He knew what you needed when you didn't know what you needed. And so your prayers, in some sense, fell short. They didn't ask completely what God wanted to bless you with. And you would have asked for this thing that He ended up giving, if you knew all that God knew. Jesus is teaching us that God will never withhold the good from you that He desires to give. And I can see clearly here, I don't know about possessions. I don't know about things. This is no prosperity gospel, friends. God desires to make you holy, to produce in you a character like Jesus Christ is talking about in this sermon. That's what He's telling us to ask for. And God desires to give it. Sometimes it comes to us in ways we never would have asked for, through hardships we never would have dreamed that would have come to our doorstep. But we have to trust that our Heavenly Father knows best. And He is preparing us for an eternal kingdom, not just a better one here on earth. He wants to make us ready to live in His presence forever, and He is going to weed sin out of our hearts. He is going to overwhelm ungodly passions. He will do it. He will have His way in us. So He's saying, ask. How many times have I heard somebody say, I don't ask for patience anymore because God might do something to make me patient? That's exactly what He's asking you to do. Ask for patience. He's going to give it to you anyway. Ask. Often, yes, it will come through difficulty. That's how you learn it. By you not asking for it, you're saying, God, don't make me holy. Don't make me like Your Son. I'm afraid of what my Father might do. And Jesus is saying, your Father is good in everything that He does. Do not be afraid to ask for patience. Don't be afraid. Somebody recommended a video to me a week or so ago. I don't remember who it's sung by. It's on our Facebook page right now, but it's called Though He Slay Me. though God might slay me. This is from Job. Oh, he's good. I will live. I will prosper in his way. He will make me holy. God, have your way with me. My life is yours. So yes, I will ask for patience. And you will bring it about in your own way, in your own time. And God, make me a gentle and kind man. And he will put me in situations with some people that are difficult, just like he will with you. He's softening us up. He is preparing us for an eternal kingdom in his presence. So we must expect challenges, many of which you all are experiencing right now. So ask. Ask. Don't be afraid. Seek. You'll find. Knock. Your Father in heaven will open it for you. He will provide. He will make you ready to be with him. That's what Jesus is teaching us. We don't need to be afraid of a good, good Father who loves us perfectly, desires that we would be unhindered by sin as he is. He always does what is right. No one and no thing can keep him from being generous towards you, and everything that he wants to give you has already been purchased by the blood of his Son. So ask for it, and he'll give. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you are good. You are generous. You are patient. You are kind. Always towards your children, even in difficulty. Help us, God, by faith to cling to that when things do not look bright, things are gloomy, things are sad and hard, that a good Father is with us, providing for everything that we need. You will not let us be overwhelmed, not tempted beyond what we are able to bear with you by our side. Grant us the grace this week to ask for those things, Father, that you desire to give. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, please stand to your feet. We're going to close in praise to God. Remember, as we mentioned last week, if you have some talent, some ability to play musical instruments, to sing, make melody, a sweet melody before other people. Everybody thinks they can sing at some point or another, right? If you can sing and make praise to the Lord, talk to Paul, talk to Jane after the service. And they're having tryouts here for those who would like to get involved in the worship team. But we will all sing this together, and let's sing it with all our might, all right? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless each one of you.